always a source of encouragement and wisdom. I thank you for our teachers who are involved in our Sunday school program, and ask that you would bless them, and that you would open up the hearts and minds of the children to understand who you are, and will, in understanding you, grow to know you and love you and turn their lives over to you. And now we thank you for the privilege of looking into your word again. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O God, my rock and redeemer. This I pray for the honor and the glory of Jesus. Amen. Can you find 1 Peter? Towards the end of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. So 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Back in October of 1909, the city of Vancouver purchased its first motorized ambulance. In 1909, a new ambulance was a rather rare thing, but Vancouver spared no expense to get the best available vehicle. This ambulance was purchased from the United States. And just hours after being on the streets of Vancouver, the ambulance transported its first casualty, a tourist from the United States. Now, the tourist had been out shopping in downtown Vancouver and was struck by the ambulance and killed. The very first passenger for the ambulance was killed by the ambulance and went to the morgue. Something meant to be good and helpful became an instrument of harm and tragedy. The ambulance, meant to help save lives, failed to do what it was intended to do. Now, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to be and do what God intended us to be and do. I was thinking that as the summer holiday season winds down, as vacations come to an end, as people return to school, as the church programming ramps up again, that maybe it's a timely opportunity to ask, who are you and what are you doing? Now, if I can answer the question correctly, and if you can answer the questions correctly, I believe we can look forward to another church year of blessing, a time of blessing within our church family and a time of blessing in our city. Now, take a look at verse 9. At verse 9, Peter says, but you. He says, but you are not like those that he has just mentioned. Now, I've not read it, but in verse 1, you are not like those who are full of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. But you are not like those in verse 8 who stumble and do not listen to or obey God's word. But you are different. Followers of Jesus are different because they have new identities, new behaviors, new value, and new importance. Do you know who you are and what you are supposed to be doing? Well, let's review what Peter says about us. First, he says,
Followers of Jesus are a chosen people. The word people here in this verse is a reference to race and blood relationships. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, the nation of Israel is referenced, or the Jewish people are referenced, and this is what it says. It says, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession." Now here in Peter's letter, Peter applies this privileged status that the Jewish people had to all of the followers of Jesus. He says, "But you are a chosen people." Followers of Jesus are, in a sense, a brand new race of people, and they are God's treasured possession. If you are a follower of Jesus, you were chosen by God. Chosen. Now think for a moment about some of the people you know of in the Bible. People whom God chose. God chose Jonah, who was obstinate and cowardly. He chose Abraham, who was a liar. Jacob, who was deceptive. He chose Moses, who was a murderer. He chose David, who committed adultery. He chose Rahab, who was a prostitute. He chose Jeremiah, who was always depressed. He chose Leah, who was unattractive. He chose Peter, who was a coward. He chose Thomas, who was a doubter. He chose Paul, who hated and persecuted Christians. He chose Martha, who worried a lot. He chose Timothy, who was timid. He chose Naomi, who was a widow and a single mother. And he chose me. And he chose you. Who are you? You are a person chosen by God. Now this is remarkable. This is exciting. This is extraordinary. This is wonderful to realize that God has chosen me and he has chosen you. I know I didn't deserve it, and I'm pretty certain you didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it, and I'm pretty certain there's no way you will ever earn it. God simply put his hand on you and he picked you to be his chosen, treasured possession. To be a member of a brand new redeemed race of people. And this brand new redeemed race of people is not called Jewish or Gentile or Canadian or German or Polish or British or American or Chinese. It is called Christian. You are a member of this new Christian race. This new people group. You are a member because God chose you. Isn't that amazing? Remarkable to think that God chose you. Now the second thing that Peter says is that followers of Jesus are a royal priesthood or a kingdom of priests. What does this mean? This means that you are supposed to offer spiritual sacrifices, or that you are to be involved in doing spiritual activities. The responsibility of a priest is to do spiritual activities. Now, Peter does not explain what these spiritual activities are, but it's not too hard to find out what some of them are from other passages found in the Bible. And so this morning I want to very quickly illustrate what some of these spiritual sacrifices are. Followers of Jesus are to offer the sacrifice of praise or prayer. Praise will come later in my list, but at the top, the sacrifice of prayer. Psalm 50 verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. We can speak directly to God. We don't have to go through any other mediator. We can personally approach God and we can talk to Him. We can offer up the sacrifice of prayer. Another sacrifice is the sacrifice of thanks. Psalm 107, verse 22. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell, and tell of His works with songs of joy. We are to express our gratitude to God. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are, there is always something for which to express gratitude. That's our privilege and our responsibility. Another sacrifice is the sacrifice of repentance. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. We are to tell God when we have done something wrong and that we are sorry. And when we confess, when we repent in such a way, He will forgive us. Another sacrifice is the sacrifice of dedication. Therefore, says Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Through the sacrifice of dedication, we are to live in a way, day by day, that pleases God, that honors God, that brings joy to God. Another sacrifice is the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. We are to express our praise. We are to express our worship to God. Certainly when we gather here together as a family, but day by day, as we go about our activities, we are to worship God. We are to praise Him. Another sacrifice that we are to offer is the sacrifice of benevolence or service to others. Hebrews 13, verse 16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We are, as followers of Jesus, to care for and help others who are in need. That's one of the sacrifices that we are to give. Similar to this is the sacrifice of giving. Philippians 4, verse 18, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. Paul says, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Like Epaphroditus, we are to share our financial resources with others. Like the church in Philippi, we are to share our financial resources with others. We are to make the sacrifice of giving. One more example of sacrifice found in Scripture is the sacrifice of presence and reliability. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are to meet together regularly to worship God and to care for one another. We need to make this sacrifice of presence and reliability. It's one of our responsibilities. Now, these are just some of the activities followers of Jesus who are now identified as belonging to the kingdom of priests are supposed to do. You take the time to read other passages of Scripture and you can add to this list of sacrifices. Now understand that these sacrifices, that these activities, they're not to be done only by the pastor or the elder or the deacon of the local church. All Christians are supposed to do these things. You belong to the kingdom of priests. You have responsibilities to offer up spiritual sacrifices. These are some of the things that are part of your responsibility. Now there's a third thing that Peter says. He says that the followers of Jesus are a holy nation. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy is to be set apart for God's special use. As individuals and as a church family, we have a special purpose in life. You are set apart to do the will of God. Now, followers of Jesus, they may come from different nations of the world, from different ethnic groups, from different language groups, from different social and economic backgrounds, but they are one new nation or one new Christian community that has been specifically set apart to do God's will. That is your primary goal in life. That is your highest priority in life, to do the will of God. That's what he set you apart for. One more thing that Peter says is that followers of Jesus are a people belonging to God, or they are the people of God. Peter observes that followers of Jesus are not alone. You belong to a group of people, and this group of people is of God. This group of people belongs to God. God took notice of you. He chose you. And he is responsible for you. God has, and he will continue to care for you as individuals and for us as a church family. We belong to God. No matter what griefs or what persecution or what opposition that you face from other people, your identity and your value are tied up in God. There is nothing ordinary about you. You are God's possession. You are connected to one another, and you belong to Him. As followers of Jesus, you have a new identity. And you belong to a new community, a new family. You are joined together and you are the people of God. Now again, this is so remarkable. This is extraordinary. It's exciting. It's wonderful. You belong to God. Now because you are the people of God, because you are a holy nation, because you are a royal priesthood, and because you are a chosen people, you have the privilege and you have the responsibility to do something very important, very special. Peter says, take a look at the middle of verse 9. Peter says that you are to declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Or stated another way, you are to show the goodness of God. To declare the praises or to show the goodness of God means that in your relationships with others, you are to prove that God is good. In your relationships with people in your school or your workplace or your neighborhood or your city, you are to prove that God is good. Now, how will you prove that God is good? Again, as you study the scriptures, you will be able to compile a rather large list of what you can do to prove that God is good. How will you prove it? You will treat others with care and respect. You will help and support others. You will share with others who have needs, whether they are material or emotional or spiritual needs. You will worship together with sincerity and joy. You will present to your city an image of a God who is kind and loving. You will not be critical or argumentative or disrespectful towards others. You will be gentle and quick to forgive. You will seek peace and understanding. You will volunteer to help the church conduct programs and to do ministry. You will help your neighbor in practical ways. You will encourage and you will support one another in the church and in the city instead of being judgmental or uninvolved. Now, this is only a very brief illustration of some of the things that you will do to prove that God is good. As you continue on in your Bible study, you will discover many additional ways in which you will prove that God is good. Who are you as a follower of Jesus? You are a very unique and special person. What are you doing as a follower of Jesus? You should be doing very unique and special things to reveal the goodness of God. You should be living a productive life, doing good and helping people to encounter a good God. A minister died. He died and he waited in line at the entrance to heaven. Ahead of him was a guy dressed in sunglasses, a colorful and flamboyant shirt, a leather jacket and jeans. And St. Peter says to this guy, "Who are you? So that I may know whether to admit you into the kingdom of heaven." The guy replied, "I'm Joe Cohen, a taxi driver from New York City." St. Peter consults his list. He smiles and he says to the taxi driver, "Take this silk robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." The taxi driver goes into heaven with his robe and his staff. And now it's the minister's turn. The minister stands up erect and he booms out, "I am Joseph Snow, pastor of First Baptist for the past 43 years. And St. Peter consults his list. And he says to the minister, "Take this cotton robe and wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." "Just a minute," says the minister. "That man was a taxi driver and he gets a silk robe and a golden staff and I only get this cheap stuff. Now how can this be?" "Up here," says St. Peter, "we work by results. While you preached, people slept. While he drove, people prayed." Now the question I put to you is, what are the results of you being a follower of Jesus? What are you producing? Are you putting people to sleep? Or are you helping people to pray? Are you making people bored with God? Or are you helping people to connect with God in a meaningful and life-changing way? Are you turning people off of God because of your critical spirit or your intolerance? Or are you turning people on to God by your gentle spirit and your warm welcome? Who are you? What are you doing? We are a very special group of people. We are chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are the people of God. And we are to help people see the goodness of God. As we begin another church year, our church and our city, our neighborhoods, our families will be helped and blessed if we correctly answer and follow through on the questions being asked of us. Who are you? What are you doing? May we faithfully, may we sincerely, may we joyfully declare the praises and show the goodness of God to all those around us. Let us pray. Father God, as we continue to reflect upon what Peter says in these couple of verses, as we continue to reflect on who we are and what we are to be doing, would you first of all humble us and at the same time excite us? Because you have chosen us and made us your people. And then would you embolden us and where necessary correct us and enthuse us? So that we can prove to those around us how good you are. Help us to be and to do all that you have intended for us. And now as we move into this time of remembrance around Holy Communion.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for this remembrance, this symbol of your body sacrificed on the cross for us. Without your sacrifice, we would have no way to come to you. We would have no forgiveness. And so we owe everything to that great act. And Lord Jesus, we are now your body. We are the body of Christ. We belong to you. And so I pray that you would help us to remember that, remember who we are. And as we remember your sacrifice, Lord, we do so and with just profound thanks. And we pray in your name. Amen.